Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, something from the cellar. Another mini episode of our midweek drop that sees us revisit some of the brilliant guests we've had on the show over the last 4 years. Hence, something from the cellar. A little treasure trove brimming with vintage cuts from over 200 guests, all served up in bite-sized portions. And this week, we're here to double our delight as we toast some of the dynamic duos we've had on the show. And first up, it's the legendary Jane Torval and Christopher Dean, the dynamic duo more affectionately known as Torval and Dean. Like Bread and Butter, Salt and Pepper, G&T and Anson Deck, these two are forever intertwined. And here they candidly share their experiences of living with an identity that well and truly transcends their own.
I mean, we knew each other from the ages of 9 and 10. And, you know, we're getting up there now. And so the majority of our
life... It's been
life,
20 years, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. That's Jane's stock answer. Yeah. About 20 years. Yeah. I think we've always identified ourselves as Torval and Dean and Jane and Chris as our... We're such close friends.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up each other all through our teens. And, you know, that's a difficult time for a lot of people. And... We are both like only children, so we got that sense of looking after each other quite early on. Chris looks after me more than I look after him.
She needs a bit more caring these days. Come on, dear, this way.
Yeah. if only he was closer, you could punch him down.
Yeah, I would. But yes, we've had this extraordinary bond in that we both had the passion for the skating and the competition. But at the same time, we always looked out for each other as brother and sister, if you like. But it's kind of more than that, because what we've achieved together is very special to both of us.
The only parallels I can draw would be conversations I've had over the years with Anton Deck, who had a very similar route with their friendship. They met at not a dissimilar age to you two. They are known as one. Of course, they're individuals, as are you both. But you kind of, you have a responsibility to one another that is unspoken. And yet there must be times where, certainly after you retired from professional skating, you step back for a bit. You then have to go and re-identify who you are. And then you come back together again. And that happens almost on a yearly basis now with Dancing on Ice. Like, how do you do that? How do you slide in and out of those different hats that you wear?
It's easy.
I don't think it. I'm going to say it doesn't feel that hard because and also in what we've done, skating, choreography, physical movement, there is that sort of connection through physicality as well as mentally as well. And so I think, you know, from a work point of view, we know how each other moves. We have a dialogue that we can speak to each other very quickly and get right back to where we were. I mean, obviously things might happen in that, you know, period of time that we're away, but we talk to each other, you know, almost every day or every other day. We don't have a disconnect whereby, oh, what have you been doing for the last 4 or 5 months? It's not that. I know what Jane was doing yesterday, you know.
That's and an so, extraordinary friendship, isn't it?
It was funny. There was a funny moment. I don't know whether it was not this year, or maybe it was this year. Chris had come over for a few days, like in the summer, and that it was mainly we were meeting with the stylist and going through outfits ready for the upcoming Dancing on Ice. And Chris had arrived maybe a couple of days before, but I hadn't actually physically seen him. So I walk into this room and we knew that we were going straight from this meeting to have dinner with our producers. So I walked in, and because of I'd had to walk away, I got these flat shoes on. I had a dress on, but flat shoes that didn't really go with the dress. So I walk into this room and the first thing Chris does goes, and then he looks straight
at your feet.
Yeah. And he said, I said, hi. I said, don't worry, I'm not wearing those tonight. Because I knew exactly what he was thinking. Do you remember?
It's an unspoken dialogue.
I said, but, I've got other shoes in my bag. Don't worry.
I don't know if you can appreciate how extraordinary a connection and a friendship and a relationship you two have compared to most folk, I guess.
I guess you don't because you're in it and it's what you're. We've always been used to, really.
Do you not think that there is a point at which a lot of married couples could learn from you two?
Oh, absolutely. We always say that the reason we've been together so long and been such good friends is because we're not married. It's much better that way.
Yeah. You know how married couples say, don't take an argument to bed. Well, we don't take an argument off the ice. If we have a dispute, we resolve it. And we always leave the ice, you know, friends.
We don't really argue that much anymore anyway. But when we used to, we used to say, we said early on, like, you know, whilst we're arguing, because you do have moments where you disagree with things. And it's usually a technical thing to do with a step or something. But we decided early on, like, whilst we're arguing, our competitors are practicing. So stop arguing. Get on with it.
See, that's a really intelligent workaround to any dispute. And you're right. I mean, seriously, you should think about relationship counselling, like offering it for other people.
There you go. Maybe that'll be it.
Now get ready for another pairing who've ruled the podcast charts for years now with Off Menu. Yes, it's Ed Gamble and James Acaster, who I hooked up with in lockdown for some much needed laughs. As part of an unforgettable conversation, we shared some tales of their near brushes with career suicide. It's brilliant. They put their comedy powers to the test when I asked them to create identities and backstories that they'd adopt. Were they forced to enter into a witness protection program? But before all of that, let's hear how they became friends in the first place.
When did your friendship begin? Because I need to know the roots of it so that you can answer this next question, which is, you've been asked by each other to be each other's best man.
Awkward, because I did not ask James.
Right. That is awkward. Oh, shit. Sorry, Ed.
It's all right.
I want to know, what's the one story that you could tell about each other in your best man speech that would silence the room?
Oh. Well, first of all, we met at a gig. Now, we
didn't. We dispute this.
Yeah, no, I'm willing to agree with Ed here on his story of things, that we met at a gig in London, but I don't remember meeting Ed the first time.
Harsh.
You know, to be fair, it was a gig for a promoter that I really wanted to get more gigs from at the time. It was my first gig for them. and I was just very much focused on my set, even though I remember the rest of the lineup. I don't remember it.
You don't?
And then we did another. No.
But, I don't remember. You'd had that mindset at the Palladium, James.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd taken things seriously once I started getting on telly. But I was very, very serious about playing the free.
You could be much better friends with Joan now if you'd.
Exactly. Love Joan.
Knuckled down at that gig.
So we met at gigs. Yeah. And then, like, yes. I'd say me and Ed probably became friends when him and Nish Kumar decided to force their friendship on me for a joke.
Yes.
But then really? there was a very good... Yeah, well, just like when we were at the Latitude Festival, they started singing songs at me about being my best friend now, and I didn't really know them very well. And they were just following me around saying that they were my best friends. And I thought, well, I guess this is kind of funny.
Were you on hallucinogenics at this point, Ed? Or was there a reason?
No, it's just... It's really funny to be really friendly to someone when they're not necessarily
friendly.
Like you've not earned that. Yeah. You're not spent enough time with them to be like, oh, we're really good friends. If you just say we're really good friends and see if it works, and it did.
Yeah, well, they did it for long enough. It wasn't just that one weekend at Latitude. They kept doing it every time I saw them.
Oh yeah, we ran a new material gig called Best Friends Club. Yes. Which the premise of which was me and Nish wanted to be friends with James and he wasn't bothered. although. He took it too far in that he never turned up to any of the gigs.
Yeah. I kept on getting other gigs and not doing them.
So you just love bombed him and it literally left him
love
cold.
Love bombed, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, there just came a point in my life where, like, I was living with my girlfriend at the time. We broke up. I had to move out the flat. I didn't have anywhere to live. And the only people I could think to call were the two people who pretended to be my friends for a while. Well, I guess my actual best friends are the two people who, for a laugh, have said that they are.
I think you've, found a year that was worse than 2020, right there.
Yeah, living on our sofa bed for a month wasn't the highlight of the year.
No, that's quite nice.
But actually, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's better for me than the months that had preceded it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Living in a flat with someone who hated me. It was quite nice to be with Ed and Nish.
So they love bombed you into submission, eventually. The friendship was underpinned by that. And now let's fast forward to your imaginary weddings, your nuptials, and it's time for the best man's speech. And I want one of those anecdotes that's proper tumbleweed where almost the mother of the bride starts to cry. It's so bad.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a few.
Also, I want to point out, Ed's wedding was scheduled for during the pandemic. He had to cancel it. So when he says...
No, I didn't schedule it. Yeah. I didn't say, oh, there's a pandemic, I'll schedule my wedding for the middle of it.
I appreciate that.
It was scheduled and the pandemic came along.
Yeah.
So it's been postponed.
He didn't propose and she said, when are we going to get married? He said, during the next pandemic. Whenever there's a pandemic, I'd like to schedule it for that.
I proposed during the Spanish flu of 1917. And I said, not this one. Next time there's a pandemic. Yeah, so it has been postponed and James was not, to be fair, not the best
for
man.
For that one.
But a groomsman.
Well, yes, for that one. But there's still time for you to change your mind here. There's another wedding in the future.
You can pull it back.
So I could still pull it back.
Who is your best man, Ed?
Nish Kumar.
James, that's got to hurt.
Yeah,
I mean, you've surpassed.
You got to think that at one point I was at least on the short list, and there was like I was a name on a pad. I was somewhere.
Yeah.
I managed to negotiate myself another job on the day, didn't I? That I suggested.
Oh, James is going to announce the cake.
Yes.
He's going to say what all the different flavours of the cake are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he loves pudding.
I negotiated myself that. I said, please, can you let me announce the cake and talk everyone through?
And then he's going to do 5 minutes on squash.
Yeah. Try some notes. Slag off all the old ladies in the room.
Yeah, that would actually silence the room. We went on holiday together to New York. I don't think this would silence the room, but one night James got so drunk he started giving pep talks to people in the bar. He went into the toilet, stood on the toilet and hung over the toilet door giving random strangers a pep talk while they were trying to wee in the urinal.
Thank God.
You're all right, mate, draw a pep talk.
Yeah, thank God it was only a wee.
Saying to them, do you want a pep talk as well?
That
was very much what I was giving out. I wasn't just like trying to motivate people. I was consciously giving pep talks.
I actually kind of think that's quite a lighthearted, whimsical thing to do, so it wouldn't necessarily cause silence in the room. Mm-hmm. He got drunk and put a slug on a pizza the other day.
Yeah. Wow.
That was recent. That made the room quiet, to be fair.
Yeah.
Who ate it?
No one ate it. I mean, the pizza was cold. We were outside doing a socially distanced little meet-up loads of people hadn't seen each other in ages, and there was a slug behind me on the floor, and someone said, "Ah, oh, I think that slug feels a bit left out." And then, so then I instantly, without thinking about it, picked up the slug and put it on the pizza. And I thought,
now
no one liked it.
I maintain, if I did that in a best man speech, it would be silence in the room.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Last but certainly not least, we have classical superstars Michael Ball and Alfie Beau. Together, they've pulled years of solo success to become one of the UK's biggest selling music acts. And with all that experience comes a whole host of showbiz anecdotes collected nicely along the way. So here they are with some of their finest.
My favourite was my final matinee on Phantom of the Opera. And it helps if you know the show or have seen the show or remember a bit about the show. I was playing Raoul. And traditionally, the final matinee is where you play tricks on people.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, the lady playing Carlotta is in an opera scene and they put a ring on one finger and a ring on the other. And then I put cheese wire between. So she's like, and then she's literally stuck like that. Then I came out of the lair for the final scene and I've got a rip down the arm with Raoul for Christine Forever. And I'd arranged for the very final moment for as the boat goes across in the background with me and Christine to have a big old false hairy chest, a great big medallion and a cornetto in my hand. And all I've got to do is sing, say the word and I will follow you. What I didn't know is a girl playing Christine swapped places with the other, with the alternate. And I looked down and I saw them in, and all I could see was the back. I could hear the voice, but the voice wasn't coming from the actress. And I looked down and it was someone with, I don't know who they were trying to do an impression of, but they had the blackest eyeliner and the biggest false eyelashes, buck teeth, a little moustache, and a little bit of a hairy chest. And I turned around with a dripping cornetto in my hand to hand it over, which I did. And I was laughing so much, all I could come out with was, hey, what? Not for you. And they came back and they went, you could tell it was your last day. And I went, oh no, was it bad? They went, the emotion in that last scene.
Style it out, style it out. No, what about you, Elf?
Oh my goodness, Christmas stories. This is, I mean, not anything to do with the business at all, but I come from a large family. I've got like five sisters and three brothers. And one Christmas, my dad had spent like the few months prior to Christmas making this batch of wine, but he was doing like he did his home brew. It was a hobby of his to make wine, make beer, that sort of thing. He made this parsnip wine.
So it's like a moonshine, moonshine. So, is that what they call it?
Yeah, and so it was in these demijohns, that where the alcohol is trying to cipher down, or was trying to lower the alcohol content a little bit. But Christmas Day arrived, and there was this brew still in the demijohns, ready to, you know, ciphering and everything. And all the guys, all the lads, decided to go to the pub for a beer. And my mother was cooking Christmas dinner with all my sisters and saying, I can't stand this. So the fellas can just clear off to the pub and leave us to do this. To do this Christmas dinner on our own. They said, right, so open that wine. Let's get some glasses out. Let's open the wine. But they started drinking like 30% proof alcohol, you know, in like wine glasses, thinking like it was just regular 12% wine or whatever. So we came back to this smoke coming out of the kitchen window, laughter, music going like crazy around the house, my mother, my sisters rolling around on the kitchen floor, fire coming out of the oven, the turkey was burned, everything was like...
It's totally smashed.
But it was one of the best Christmases we ever had.
That's brilliant.
Exactly, yeah. So that was really one of the best moments at home for me, you know. But like Michael... You know, leading up to Christmas, in productions and things, there's all sorts of jokes that get played on you, and it's terrible. And trying to keep a straight face. When I was playing at the Royal Opera House, somebody bet me £100 if I would walk across the stage in this scene as John Wayne. So do a John Wayne walk right across the front, the Royal Opera House stage, in the middle of a production with George Schulte conducting. And it was like £100. Yeah, I'll do it. And so I did it. And somebody said, "Are you all right in that scene? Did you hurt yourself? Because you were walking with a bit of a limp." And it said, "That was my John Wayne impression." And that was another Christmas story.
Thanks so much for joining me for Something from the Cellar Double Axe. Sometimes it just goes to show, doesn't it, that two heads really are better than one. I really hope you're enjoying these weekly visits to the cellar as much as I am, and I'll be back on Friday with a brand new guest for you. In the meantime, you can listen to all of these episodes in full by scrolling through our back catalogue or simply search for the guests using their name in the search bar. This week, we featured Torva Lindeen, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, and Michael Ball and Alfie Bowe. Until next week, have a good one.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.